Psalm 146. Verse 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." We know that verse well, don't we? We quote it all the time. I titled this message, "Happy in the God of Jacob." Happy, happy, happy. Outside of the God of Jacob, I have nothing to be happy about. This world is disappointing. But in the God of Jacob, I am so happy. Verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord." What a wonderful way to begin a psalm. Praise ye the Lord. The translation of those four words is hallelujah. I love that word. I have for a long time. I love the songs we sing that say that word. I love that word. There are times that the Lord allows us to enter into the message. And He sends His Spirit, and we know He sent His Spirit. We feel His presence. Our heart does burn within us. We're just overjoyed. We're just so thankful. We're just so happy. We just have so much love. And the only word that expresses that to God is hallelujah. And it's a shame that people turn that word into an outward show and they raise their hands and they sway and they just bring attention to themselves and they've ruined that word. But I love it. I love it. True praise comes from deep in the heart. Our concordance says the word is an adoring exclamation. A loving exclamation. "We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and is now gone above." Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, and so be it. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. Us, all of us. Verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord." You need to praise the Lord. And then it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." I need to praise the Lord. We all need to praise the Lord. We all have to praise the Lord. Thanks be to God if we all want to praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. If we do, it's He that made us want to, made us willing. Verse 2 says, "While I live, will I praise the Lord." That's by God's grace. But while I live, will I praise the Lord. There is only one whom we praise. There is only one whom we give honor to and glory to. And it is not the Pope. And it's not Mary. And it's not John Calvin either. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I love John Calvin. I love him with all of my heart. I agree with him. The Scripture sets forth all five of those points. I believe all five of those points. But I don't sing the praises of John Calvin. By the Lord's grace, by His work, verse 2 says, "I will sing praises unto my God." I'll sing praise unto the God of John Calvin. My brother, John Calvin. He's the God of Mary. He's the God of the Pope. He's the God of all. We'll sing praises unto our God. Every knee must bow. Verse 3 says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help." There is no help. The longer we live, there is no help. We realize that. There's no help. No man can run for any office and come up with any slogan that's going to prove to me that He can provide me help. Let's not put our trust in any mortal man, because all flesh is grass. It's all grass. Let's not put our trust in any politician. And there's a few that I like. I like them a lot. But they make promises that they can't keep. Let's not put our trust in any economic business mogul, any major corporation owner, anybody who says they know how to turn this economy around. It's God who gives the increase. Let's not put our trust in any religious leader, any of them. The Scripture says, all flesh is grass. All men are sinners, starting right here. All men are liars, and they cannot help. Don't trust in them. You'll be disappointed. Be very disappointed. The true God-sent religious leader, the true servant of God, points men and women to Jesus Christ. They say, trust Him. Trust Him. They would never say, trust me. Now, you trust me on this, unless they're saying, I'm about to quote Jesus Christ. What they say is, I am just a man. I'm just an earthen vessel like everybody else. I'm just a sinner. Don't look to me. Look to the Lamb of God. That's what God's true servant said. John the Baptist, they said, who are you? And he said, it's not important. What's your name? It doesn't matter. Behold the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him and not in any man. No man. Why? Verse 4 says, because man's breath goeth forth. That means he dies. His breath leaves his body. Man dies. It says he returneth to his earth. From dust he came, to dust he's going back. And it says in that very day, all of his ambition and all of his intention, all of his thoughts perish. Everything he said he was going to do is over. Let's not put our trust in anything that can be gone so quickly. Gone. Just gone. Look down at verse 10. It says, the Lord shall reign forever. The Lord shall reign forever. Proverbs 2:3 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's unmovable. He's unshakable. He's immortal. He's invisible. He's our rock. He's our foundation. He's our fortress. He's our God. Verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. It's amazing to me that the word God and the word Jacob can even be in the same verse. That's wonderful, isn't it? The high and holy God and the low and vile sinner, happy, I mean happy, is he who has the God of sinners for his help. This God is willing to be the God of sinners. Happy is the person that has the God that helps sinners. That's a happy person. Look at Psalm 144, verse 15. Psalm 144, 15 says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." They're happy. They really are happy. This world is so tough. This world is so trying. It's so difficult to have patience, which we don't have any of. And we just grovel here below. But once we get a hold of the God of Jacob again, we realize, I actually really am happy. I really am. I'm not searching for something that I don't have. I'm happy. We quote our text all the time. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for our help. But here's the question. Why? Why are we sinners happy? Psalm 146 here gives us 10 reasons. 10 reasons to be happy in the God of Jacob. The first one is in verse 6. It says, "He made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is." And He's our God. That's the one who is our God. To get straight to the point, He is able. He's able. Look at everything He's made. Look at everything He's created. He's able. He can do what He says He will do. If a sinner needs help, He's able. He's able to deliver thee. He can take out of us a heart of stone and create in us a new heart. He's the Creator. He can create a brand new heart, heart of flesh. He created all things. Now, here's something we must know. He can destroy all things. He's able to do that as well. He's able. And He plainly said, "I'm going to destroy everything and everyone who does not cry out for mercy and help. I'm going to destroy it all." If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against us, who can be for us? Somebody will hear that and say, God's not against anybody. He might not save everybody, but God's not against anybody. Well, let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. Verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee, and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations." Verse 11 says, "Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy destructible things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee. Neither shall mine eye spare, neither will I have any pity." And then he continues in chapter 5 with just more destruction. Chapter 6 is more destruction. Chapter 7 is more destruction. Chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10 is more destruction. Now go to chapter 11. Ezekiel 11, verse 13. Ezekiel says, "It came to pass when I prophesied that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, O Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel?" Are you going to kill all of us? Are you going to kill us all? Verse 14, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come." The Lord is good. He is good. He is good. He is what good is. Verse 17 says, "Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither and shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Oh, the Lord is good. He is so good. He said, "Everything I created and gave to you, you defiled. You destroyed. You ruined." So he says, "I'm going to create something else. I'm going to create a new heart in you. I'm going to create a new spirit in you. I'm going to gather you." And listen to Isaiah 65. Verse 17 says, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." The one that you defiled and ruined. "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." I'm going to create new heavens, new earth, a new heart, a new spirit. I'm going to make all things new. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." It says in our text, he made heaven, he made earth, he made the sea, he made everything that therein is. Verse 6 goes on to say, "He keepeth truth forever." He keepeth truth forever. Our Lord said unto the Father, "Thy word is truth." He will keep his word forever. He keeps his promise to the remnant, to his people. Psalm 119 says, "Thy law is the truth. Thy commandments are truth." He kept them. He kept his own law. He kept his commandments for us. He keepeth truth forever. In the Gospel of John, he said, "I am the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." He keepeth truth forever. I'm so glad. That makes me happy. Why are we sinners happy? Our text, verse 7, says, He executeth judgment for the oppressed. An oppressor is someone who rules in a cruel way. The oppressed are those under cruel bondage. They're pressed upon. They feel the weight. Our concordance says the oppressed are the defrauded, the violated, those gotten deceitfully, deceived, helpless. He's the help of the helpless. Help of the helpless. He's the Savior of sinners. Verse 7 says, His people are happy because He giveth food to the hungry. David said, I have been young and now am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. But He gives something to the hungry that's far more important than bread. Man cannot live by bread alone, but He gives every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's given that to us. He's given us the Word of God to have and to hold. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's given us righteousness. And that's Christ, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if they hunger after that spiritual food, they're going to be filled. They're going to be absolutely filled. He gives food to the hungry. Now we're asking the question, why are we happy? How can sinners saved by grace not be happy? How can we not be happy? In the God of Jacob. Just look at this one verse. Verse 7 says that the Lord our God executes judgment for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. And the Lord looseth the prisoners. How could they not be happy? He said, the Lord hath anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. How? How can He do this and still be just? How can He do this and still be fair and still be right? If He is good, how can He let prisoners go? If somebody did that, if somebody went down to the prison and let all the prisoners go, I wouldn't be too happy about that. If we're in prison, we're there for a reason. If we're prisoners, it's because we deserve to be prisoners. How can this be possible and legal? He fulfilled the law. He abided by the law. How can this be legal for a guilty man like me? The song says there's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me. He came for one reason only, from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ ransomed me. He bought me. He paid my price. He paid my debt. He did it with His own blood. The song says, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor, lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. I will ever tell the story, by God's grace, if He allows me to, I will ever tell the story, and the whole time I'm up here, I hope to shout, glory, 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 hallelujah. Jesus Christ ransomed me. That makes me happy. I'm really happy about that. He ransomed me. This was no jailbreak. He paid my price. He did it out in the open for all to see. There's nothing to hide. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Verse 8 in our text says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind." The song continues, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by grace I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. The Lord opened the eyes of this spiritually blind man. I was blind to the truth. I was blind to God. I was blind to Christ. I was blind to my sin. Everybody knows they're not perfect. But the Lord God has to open our eyes. He has to open our eyes to see just how vile we really are. We'll never see it. But if He does open our eyes, and if we see Christ crucified, then we will see the hope of glory. We'll see the truth. We'll see the way. We'll see life. Verse 8 says, "The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down." He raiseth them from the grave, bowed way down. When He reached way down, He's the giver of life. He quickens the dead. Ephesians 2 says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in sins." I was dead. He gave me life. I was down and He raised me up. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With a tender hand, He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name. That means hallelujah. He lifted me. And I'm really happy about that. Verse 8 says, "The Lord loveth the righteous." When that centurion who was standing by the cross of our Lord saw Him give up the ghost, when he saw, actually with his own two eyes, Jesus Christ crucified, he said, "Surely that was a righteous man." There is only one man who is righteous, and that's Jesus Christ. And I'm very happy about the fact that God the Father loves him so much, He gave him a gift. And we sinners are that gift. We are a present from God the Father to God the Son. And our Master said to His Father, "All that Thou hast given me, I kept them all." The Son loves the Father so much. Whatever gift the Father gives the Son, because He loves Him so much, "I'll keep them because I love you." He hasn't lost one. He hasn't given one away. And He hasn't destroyed one. Verse 9 says, "The Lord preserveth the strangers." The Lord said concerning His people, "They are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world." We're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. And the Lord preserves His strangers. Verse 9 says, "He relieveth the fatherless and widow." How does He do that? He gives the fatherless a father. That man was sick of the palsy. And our Lord said to him, "Son, be of good cheer. You be happy." That woman had an issue of blood, and He said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." He wrote in 1 John 2, "My little children." He gives the fatherless a father. He gives the widow a husband. Song of Solomon is a book written for a husband and a wife. "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." In Revelation 21, John saw God's people coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God's people are the children of God the Father and the wife of God the Son. And I'm happy about that. Verse 9 says, "But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." We need help, don't we? We need help. We are the wicked. Well, happy is that wicked man who has the God of Jacob for his help. Because verse 10 says, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations." He said, "I'll be their God, they shall be my people, and I will dwell with them." I'm going to live with them forever. Let every creature shout his praise unto all generations. Every generation, let every creature shout his praise. It says, "Praise ye the Lord." Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord bless His Word.